Good morning, welcome to Dublin Vineyard. The summer has arrived. The summer has arrived. If you want to grab a seat, if you could get seats towards the front, that would be really, really great. That would let people get seats easy as they're coming in. So if you could get seats towards the front, that would be brilliant. Lots of pairs of shorts on today. Nice to have the summer. Although you nearly have too much of the sun at this stage. So if you want to just grab a seat, fill towards the front, that would be brilliant. I'd like to welcome everyone to our morning. We are Dublin Vineyard, a church that bows its knee to Jesus as our Lord and King and the lover of our souls. And we want to enjoy Jesus' presence here this morning, and we want to glorify him. And we're a group of people from all shapes and sizes, but we're all on a journey to find the truth and the one who is true. And some of us have found Jesus to be that he is who he said he would, he is, that he is both God and King, Savior and Lord. And some of us are wondering, does Jesus even exist? Does he care? And wherever you are on that journey, you're more than welcome. And the way we do it is we'll have a time of worship acknowledging Jesus for who he is. Some people will stand, some people may raise their hands, some people will be quiet. It's just an expression of worship. We'll repeat the song sometimes. Again, it's just like a prayer and honoring of Jesus. Then we'll have some announcements and we'll continue looking at Matthew's gospel, trying to apply it to our lives. But you know, when things are good, you know where we're to run, to Jesus. And when things are bad, where we're to run is to Jesus. And when it's sunny outside, where we're to run is to Jesus. And when it's raining outside, where we're to run is to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We need him here with us. So let's just quieten ourselves and invite Jesus to be with us so that we can enjoy him here and glorify his name. So, Lord Jesus, we just honor you this morning. Lord, we run to you. Some of us have had great weeks this week. Some of us have offended you in ways that we're ashamed of this week. So no matter where we are, O God, we run to you. We welcome you in this place. Fill our words, our songs, our time together with your very life. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Please stand for our first song.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, the oceans reveal your majesty. From the colors of fire to the fragrance of the gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all.
Jesus, be the same.
amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain from beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery. How you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries.
Thank you for your grace, Lord. God, for your freedom that we can walk in. God, that we can know that joy in you. Rejoice in you, God, your freedom. Thank you. Amen. If you want to take your seats.
Good morning. Welcome to Dublin Vineyard on a fabulous, fabulous sunny morning. Hendrik, can you get that light there? Thanks. If you're a guest here this morning, you're particularly welcome. We hope we all come here to actually enjoy God's presence, to enjoy Jesus and to glorify Him. And we hope that if you're a guest here, that you'd feel comfortable and that you'd actually experience God's presence. And if you'd like, there's some information about our church on the information table there, with a CD of Vineyard music and some details about the church. And please take one with you before you leave. And we have some announcements. We have a young missionary heading off on Sunday next week. So Alison is just going to share a little bit about what God, what she hopes God will do while she's in Kenya.
Hi, I'm Alison. I'm going on a missionary trip to Kenya next Sunday with CMS Ireland, who are the Church of Ireland Missionary Society. CMS works in 14 countries across Africa, Asia, and Europe, and they send out lots of teams, and this is one of their short-term opportunities, which is called a MITA team, which is a mission experience teams abroad. And over the next few months, they'll be sending 5 MITA teams with CMS partners to Burundi, Kenya, Uganda, and Romania. For many years, Ireland has primarily been the support base for CMS Ireland's work in other parts of the world. I'm going to Kenya, which is on the east. The mission partners I'm going over to work with are Ronnie and Maggie Brakes, who are originally from Belfast. And we're going to work with the Maasai people south of Nairobi in Kenya. And as you can see, Kenya is on the East African border. And we'll be working south of Nairobi, which is the capital. CMS Ireland has been involved with Kajiado for approximately 30 years, and they have a number of projects over there promoting recovery and rehabilitation, theological education, and they have a mobile clinic and training centre. I applied for this team in January by sending an application form, and then I had an interview. Our team name is Team Hakuna Matata, you know, from The Lion King, and it means no worries, and the verse that corresponds with our team name is from 1 Peter, and it's chapter 5, verse 7, and it's give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. We have 18 team members going over on the 5th of July for 3.5 weeks, from 16 years old to 23 years old, and the whole team is from Northern Ireland, except for myself. We have 2 team leaders, and our team leader, Julie, is the Youth and Children's Coordinator for CMS Ireland. I had a fundraising coffee morning in aid of my trip, so thank you to those who supported me in April. And I've been to several meetings in the Belfast CMS office since January. As part of our training and preparation, we had a weekend away where we learned the greetings and cultural differences between Kenya and Ireland. And we had a commissioning service last Sunday in Belfast, which is where we are commissioned by the church, which is like a blessing as we go out to serve. And we've been learning some Swahili also, which is the language they speak in Kenya. Habari yako, which is how are you, and the answer, Mzuri sana. And Gina Langini, which is what is your name, and my name is Alistair Cecil. Well, we're in Kenya.
Translating that for everyone.
We all know your language. If you do. While we're in Kenya, we'll be working alongside the youth team at Kajiado Cathedral. We'll be helping with repairs to primary schools. We'll be doing schools work and taking part in church services, and also a wide variety of building work and practical tasks. We've also prepared dramas, songs, dances, and activities to do with the children. And this is just a photo of our team at our commissioning service. We'll also be bringing over plenty of presents, and we each have a team job, and mine is the quartermaster, which is to sort out each of the gifts every day when we go to different areas. During the church services, we'll have opportunities to share our testimony and also to bring greetings from our home church. While we're away, there's a blog set up on the CMS website, and it's under Kenya Youth 09. And if you'd like to leave comments, or it's an opportunity to keep updated on our trip, and I ask you please to be praying for our team. Our team leaders, Ronnie and Maggie Briggs, Bishop Jeremiah Tama, who is the Bishop of Kajiado, and for our safe travels, health, and strength that God will give us. This trip means so much to me, and missionary work and charity work is something really close to my heart, something I'm really interested in and would love to be involved in later in life. I'm really excited about it and hope to make a difference among the people of Cadiado and also to build friendships. Helping people less fortunate than me is something I feel really strongly about. And as a result of my experience in the Super Run this year, I feel that this is what I'm called to do, and just say thank you to Una and the rest of the team. And it's also great to be going on a trip like this with young Christians like myself. At our commissioning service, the preacher said that when we come home, we won't be the same. And I hope that this experience will not only be a rewarding one, but also one that will be humbling and one where I'll discover who I am. I hope that it makes a lasting impact on me and my life. At Teen Street last year, one of the girls felt that God said to her that he was going to use me, and I feel that this is how. I hope he uses me to serve the people of Cadiado, and that this trip will make my faith stronger. I hope that God will work in me to touch the people of Cadiado. Thank you.
What we want to do is we want to pray for Alison, but just again, it's just we're trying to do what they did in the Bible when Jesus started this church. And there's one part in Acts chapter 13 when it says, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have commissioned them to or called them to. And for this period over the summer, God's called Alison to this. So we want to set her aside for that. But we just want to pray and that God would give her all that she needs, that he would fill her with, his Holy Spirit to endure and persevere, and give her the Holy Spirit's toolbox to do the ministry that God's called her to. So let's just pray for a minute. I'll pray it loud. You can just pray in your mind, okay? So Lord Jesus, we just ask your Holy Spirit just would come in power on Alison right now. Right now, Lord, just fill her with your Spirit. Increase your presence on her, Lord. Increase your presence on her, O God. Lord, we ask, O God, that you would put into her the endurance and perseverance that's needed for this missions trip, O God. That you would put into her the gifting that she will need, O God. That you would use her supernaturally among the people, the Maasai people in Kenya, among her team, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that in this time that you would break our heart for you and the things that break your heart, O God. The pastor said that she would come back a different young woman. So Lord God, we just hand her into your hands. We hand her into your hands, O God. And we say amen to your working in her life. Amen. Amen. Good stuff, Alison. So if the kids want to go down to kids' church, and Katie, if you want to start coming up as the kids are going down, Katie's just going to talk a little bit about the healing on the streets that that she and others experienced.
Hi, y'all. So last week, we had Fiona come up and share a little bit of her story. And this week, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. And what this is about is we are trying to launch a Healing on the Streets ministry here in Dublin, which is praying for the sick and just sharing God's love and God's welcome with people who are just hungry for more of God's presence. A group of us went in April up to Coleraine to go to a conference on this and to see what God was doing in this community. And I went up, and I've had a bad back my entire life. It's been a wreck. It's like I've been run over by cars. I've had just a horrible time with my back. And I was seeing the chiropractor before I went, so he kept asking people to come up and receive prayer for bad backs. But I was saying, oh, I'm seeing the chiropractor. I'm fine. And what wound up happening is at the evening service, someone had a very powerful word for me. And basically, it was as if the pastor had opened up my medical chart for my back and started reading line by line everything that had ever happened to my back. So I went up and I received prayer. And that night was one of the most bizarre experiences of my life, because it was extraordinarily painful. It actually hurt when they prayed for me. It got worse. And I just was crying, and my husband, Aaron, he was about to come and drag me away. He's like, I don't know what these crazy Christians are doing to you, Katie. Like, these crazy people, they're praying, and you're hurting. And at the end of it, it was as if this enormous tension had been released from my back. And I have always had an extra bump in my spine, a curve from a whiplash. And I woke up the next morning and that bump was gone. And as if it couldn't get any better, I got prayed for the next day, and the rest of all of the pain kind of moved out of my back. My leg grew about a half an inch when someone prayed for me, and about 3 days later, I had had a head injury when I was young, and I literally had a dent in my skull. I was always teasing people. I'm like, look, you can feel the dent in my skull. And it was 3 days later, and I was just shampooing my hair, and I was like, wait, the dent's gone. And God miraculously reformed my skull. Now, I don't know, like, about you guys, but no surgery, there's no medical treatment, there's no prescription, there's nothing other than the miraculous hand of God that can pop a dent out of a skull like a plastic water bottle. It's just amazing. And so I'm convinced, and I believe in my heart of hearts, that God heals, that God wants to heal, that we need to press into that, that while the kingdom may be now and not yet, we need to believe in the now, and we need to chase after it. And so today at 12:30, in the boardroom, we're going to have a little informational session. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what healing on the streets is, what it's not, and talk about kind of, I'm going to try and cast a vision for what I'd love to see God doing here in Dublin and kind of throughout the island. But I hope you'll join me if you're even remotely interested. I'll have loads of time for questions and answers. And you're all very welcome.
So that's 12:30 sharp up there. And somewhere deep inside, don't we just want to see God using us to do his stuff? So that's at 12:30, just an information evening. Now, the rest of the announcements, they were played beforehand, but they're all in here, so be sure to get them, because I'm not going to go through them. I'm only going to do two. And they may be. The first one is our book for the summer. Just, it's John Wimber's Power Evangelism. For some of us, we've read it before, years and years ago, but a really, really good refresher in terms of understanding this whole thing, dynamic of the kingdom of God breaking in. I don't need those, though, yeah. Although Seamus is really nice to look at. So it's 8:50. Just encourage you, it's easy to read, very encouraging for our faith. So just pick one of those up there, 8:50, stick it in the money in the envelope and put it in the box. And then the other one is lunch. We go out to lunch. Different people go out to lunch every Sunday. And this Sunday, John and Cassandra are going. And because the sun is shining, we're going to do it as a picnic in the park. And so they'll be in the bandstand in Stephen's Green at 1 o'clock, and you can just get a sandwich in Dunn Stores or somewhere and just join them. It's just a nice way to spend a sunny Sunday afternoon. So the rest of the announcements are in here, okay? Okay, we're ready to rock and roll, so to speak. Let me get this here. Yeah. We've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel. Christine actually is going to do the next 2 weeks. I'll do this week, Christine will do the following 2 weeks because our family are going on holidays. But we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel, and one of the things that's been coming up again and again is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew calls, or the kingdom of God, the other Gospels call it. But it's the theme that's coming up again and again and again. And it's the idea that Jesus came, if you like, as an invader, bringing God's kingdom. If you remember from the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So anywhere God's will is done in people's lives, anywhere God's mercy is extended, anywhere God's welcome is extended, that's God's kingdom coming. And Jesus came as an invader. And he spoke about the good news of the kingdom. It says he came preaching the good news of the kingdom, or speaking about this message that God's welcome is extended to everyone.
the people who have it together and the people who don't. And that Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal broken bodies and heal broken hearts and cast out demons. And that when he did those things, it was evidence that the kingdom was at hand. So he spoke about the kingdom of God and he demonstrated the kingdom of God. And we've got up to chapter 11. So if you want to get in towards chapter 11 in your Bibles, that'd be great. Any new Bibles along today? Any extra Bibles? We've got another Bible. Great. We've got another Bible. Wow, we're really moving here. We're almost becoming a biblical church. So we're up to chapter 11. But let's pray first. Because in chapter 11, Jesus starts directly and indirectly saying some things about the kingdom that at first are difficult to understand. And so hopefully by the end of my talk, we'll have a more complete understanding of some of what Jesus spoke about. So let's pray. Lord, we just welcome you. We say you are good to us, you're good for us, and Lord, we acknowledge you as our God. We ask that you be with the teachers downstairs and the children. Lord, be in the baby zone and the people in the baby zone as they engage with you through your word. Be with us here, O God. Holy Spirit, fill all of us with your presence and manifest yourself as you see fit. Be the leader here this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you think about like people's kind of common objections to God, or questions people might have, or objections, like if you think about what are the kind of complaints people have about God? And they're in many ways very obvious. It's kind of like, if God is a loving God, how come so many children can die in the world? Or if God is in control, how come he's allowed my business to go down the toilet? Or why did he let me get cancer? Or why didn't he make it so I got into the university course that I wanted to get into? And really, they're like kind of, they're legitimate questions. That like they're real, you wouldn't be human if you don't ask those questions. And often people feel disappointed. But all of human history, people have asked those questions. Actually, the book of Job in the Old Testament is all about that, and it was the first book that was written down. Somehow God has disappointed us. He's kind of let us down. And when we go through that, it's good to remember we're not the first people to feel it. We won't be the last. And here in the Gospel, in chapter 11, we see one of the great men of God beginning to experience it. So if you go to chapter 11, it's about John the Baptist. I started at verse 2, but I'll actually read verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. So then, in chapter 2, it says, when John heard in prison, so John is John the Baptist, and he's been arrested, he's been put in prison. When John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, so he heard that Jesus is going around teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God, and he said, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one, or should we expect someone else? You see, John, if you remember back in chapter 3, actually, if you're there, go back to chapter 3, verse 11. This is what John said about Jesus. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. I'm not fit to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, John isn't talking about wheat. Is it wheat? Or whatever type of plant it is. He's talking about people and kingdoms and empires that God is going to come. This one who's coming after him is coming. And he's going to throw everything up in the air. And kingdoms will fall and empires will fall. And what's really of God's will remain. And he says, the one coming after me, Jesus, is going to do this. So now John's sitting in prison. And he's thinking, this isn't what I expected. I was expecting like fire. I said fire. It's in the Bible. Fire. That somehow kingdoms would crash. Rome would fall. It was going to be dramatic. John was expecting it to be really dramatic. So you go back up to 11. He says, effectively, paraphrasing, he says, this is a little bit disappointing so far, Jesus. It's a little bit disappointing. I'm putting my life on the line. Are you going to do the winnowing? You know, are you going to do the winnowing? Are you going to do the fire stuff? When are you going to do the fire stuff? Destroy Israel's enemies. And to be honest, sometimes we can feel like that ourselves. This isn't working, God. Especially because we're trying to follow you. God, you're not coming through. You're not doing what you promised. You're not doing what I expected. And that's what John is feeling. He's sitting in prison. And then Jesus goes, if you read on there, it says in verse 4, it says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And that, as John, as a prophet in the Old Testament, that would have echoes of a book in the Old Testament called Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 35. That's almost word for word from it, but it's also like Isaiah chapter 61. And John would have been sitting there in prison, hearing what his disciples, the report back, and thinking, Lord, you're just bigger than I expected. You didn't fit into the little idea that I had of you. I expected drama and fire and kingdoms coming down, but you came with mercy and kindness and welcome to sinners. And I think John probably doesn't say, he must have thought, Lord, I don't know if you'd use these words, Lord, I just keep putting you into a box. I keep trying to make you smaller. I keep trying to think I have you figured out. I keep trying to think I know all that there is, but I only know a part. And that's true for us too. Regardless of the circumstances of our lives, regardless of the circumstances of our lives, God is ultimately the one he's promised to be. And what Jesus goes on to say, and he says at the very next line, he says, blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. So John has just asked, are you the one? Because this seems a little bit disappointing. Jesus has described what he's doing and then says, blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. And what Jesus is saying, he says, when I'm me, when I'm not the God you want me to be or think I should be, but when I'm the God who is, and you still follow, you'd be blessed. Because many stopped following Jesus because he didn't do what they thought he'd do. He didn't work it out the way they thought he should. And Jesus is saying, when you let me be God, when you let me be the one who sees the whole picture and you only see a part of it, and the part that you see causes you to think, God, are you even good? Do you even care? And when we let God be God and say, Lord, I don't see it all,
but I will follow. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I will worship. Jesus says we're blessed. Because the only thing that Jesus promises in life is himself. That's the only promise. His only promise is himself. He is our great reward. But what's difficult for us is, and it's so hard because, you know, when you're living in a culture, you almost don't see it. And we really live in a consumer culture. Like, consumption, consumption, consumption. Has anyone ever been impatient with the microwave? Can I get this? You know, 2.5 minutes. You know? Isn't that hard to believe? Like, my life is more important. I've other things to do. 2.5 minutes of dinner. We really have designed our life to be around us. Consume, consume, consume. Build our life for me. And Jesus is saying, you know what? If that's our attitude, we're in danger of falling away. And will I just keep talking? Or we're in danger of falling away because really all we're doing is asking God's blessing on the circumstances of our life, not worshiping the God who is. The God who is, regardless of the circumstances of our life. So the first thing that Jesus says here in chapter 11, or the first picture he begins to paint, use the floor mic. The first picture that Jesus paints of the kingdom is a kingdom where he's not going to be the God that we think he should be. He's not going to be the king that we think he should be. He's going to be the king who is. That's who he's going to be. He's not going to come and explain himself to us. He's going to be king and asks us to follow. And in a sense, isn't it true? Like, can you imagine if God had to check things with us? I'd be terrified of that God. Wouldn't you? Like, that's a small little God. So Jesus is painting a picture of a king with a kingdom. And some people may fall away because he doesn't do what they think he should. Now, Jesus continues. Verse 7, it says, as Jesus' disciples were leaving, he's going to talk about John. Now remember, John has been in prison, sent his disciples and said, are you the one? Jesus says, go back and tell John what you see and hear. Blessed is the one who doesn't fall away on account of me. And then it says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. So Jesus is talking to the people about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are kings and palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one, this is Jesus' testimony about John the Baptist. This is the one of whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And then Jesus goes on and says, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Have I gone too far? No. I tell you the truth. Let's read it again. Among those born of women, so anyone who's ever been born, no one's greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And just to remind ourselves, some of us on the kingdom, we forget the impact of the kingdom, although we've heard it before. So to use a silly illustration, supposing, now remember, anything is possible in Hollywood. Okay, supposing there is the world WWWW heavyweight championship, and it's Mr. Burns against Rocky. So, who wins? Obviously, Rocky. I think he's airbrushed there myself. Okay, but supposing Mr. Burns arrives in the ring with this. Who wins?
the man with the gun. It doesn't matter how big Rocky's muscles are. I don't know what type of gun that is. Let's say it's a Smith & Wesson something or other. That's going to sort out Rocky. Why does it sort out Rocky? Because if you look at Rocky, Rocky's like really, really strong. Like he's not unlike myself, really. But he's got lots of muscles. He's a really, really big guy. But why is Mr. Burns with the gun going to beat him? Because Mr. Burns can hardly lift the gun. But if he can point it and shoot it, he'll kill Rocky. The reason Mr. Burns is going to win isn't because something about Mr. Burns that's really great. It's that he has a gun. Now getting back to what Jesus said about John the Baptist, he is... I'm going the wrong... Which way am I going? Oops. Can you get me... There. What Jesus has said about John the Baptist is there's no one greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And the reason Jesus is saying that is that, to remember the illustration, it's not that the people in the kingdom of heaven are all of a sudden become these super spiritual, superhuman Christians. It's that they're living in a different age. They've got different equipment, so to speak. Jesus has come, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. It's a whole new age. And anyone living in this new age is greater than anyone who lived in the age before. Not because of anything inherent in them, it's because the age that they live in. Does that make sense? Someone said yes, didn't they? So Jesus is teaching us that we're living in an age where anyone who's in the kingdom of God and anyone who's given their life to Jesus is in the kingdom of God, is more powerful, more significant, more has more potential for the kingdom than even John the Baptist. And there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Do you get it? The difficulty is everyone's nodding, yeah, I get it. But what you don't get is, that's talking about you and me. That's you and me. That's you and me. The least, because I qualify under that heading, the least in the kingdom. I can fit in there. That's you and me. More significant, more impactful for the kingdom. And the difficulty is, sometimes we feel like, that's nice, but I don't really want to be in the kingdom. I just want to live my life. Remember, it's hard to see, but that's one of the hobbits. I don't know which one he is. Is the guy who picked up and looked at the eye thing. You know that one? Call him Pippin. It's Pippin. It is Pippin, actually, yeah. Do you remember Pippin? He wasn't the bravest soul in the world, or indeed the most intelligent. And he kept saying, let's go back to the Shire. Let's go back home to the Shire. Let's leave this great battle, you know, for bigger people. They're tall, they can fit on a horse, they don't have hairy feet. You know, let's leave it for other people. Let's go back to the Shire and eat two breakfasts and... You remember when he was saying that? Let's go back to the Shire. Actually, these guys weren't the real adventurers at all when it came to hobbits. The real adventurer was Bilbo. Bilbo was the one who did all the adventuring. But Bilbo was born for a different age. These four insignificant, chickeny hobbits were born in the age of the battle for Middle-earth. They could go back to the Shire, but the battle was going to impinge even the Shire. Us insignificant little hobbits have been born into the great drama of the age. King Jesus has come. King Jesus has come and declared that he has come to rescue the wounded and the lost. Some of us, all of us, the wounded and the lost. And he wants to extend and advance his kingdom. And the temptation that I have is like, I want to go back to the shower. I don't want that dramatic stuff. But listen what Jesus says. From the days of John the Baptist until now, this is verse 12, continuing, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Men and women lay hold of it. So, the drama has started, the great drama of the ages, the great battle, not for Middle Earth, but for humanity and creation, has happened, and we're in the middle of it. And Jesus is saying, okay, the kingdom has been advancing. So it's been, now there's a lot of confusion and different opinions on this, but the thrust of this passage is saying that John was the last of the great prophets of the old age. With Jesus, the new age begins. And so the kingdom of heaven has been advancing, pressing ahead since the days of John the Baptist until now. And then he says, forceful men and women lay hold of it. And the image here is that the kingdom doesn't just happen. You know, just kind of sitting in my backyard and just thinking, oh, look at that, that's the kingdom happening. It doesn't just happen. It has to be engaged in. It has to be laid hold of. It has to be contended for, if you like. And I keep getting back to this temptation that I have, just to go through life, you know, good, going to church and being a good dad, but not really engaging in the kingdom. Not this sense that pressing into it, laying hold of it, advancing it. Because from this it's clear to engage in the kingdom, to advance the kingdom, it involves human activity in response to what God has done by sending Jesus into the world and into our lives. It requires human activity, and I think that means that we must reflect on our lives. We must think about our lives and kind of think, you know what, Lord, am I forcefully advancing your kingdom? Do I engage in that? Or am I just more like my society and consume? I just want to consume. But we have to reflect on it. Because do I do anything more than just live my life? Do I just living my life? Because the kingdom of God has to be laid hold of. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I just be a good dad and a good husband and, you know, try and be a good neighbor. Is that any different than anyone else who doesn't know Jesus? And sometimes I have to think, no, it's not. That there actually is some element of engaging, advancing, pressing into more than just being nice. It's really easy to be like Pippin and say, let's go back to the Shire. You know, let's go back to the Shire. But it's tempting to mind me and my own, don't harm anyone, go to church and consume, maybe even pray a little bit. But the idea of like stepping outside my comfort zone, the idea of laying hold of something. Do I want to do that? Do I want to advance God's kingdom in all the spheres that I live in? Work, family, neighborhood, school. Because if you think about it, Jesus came invading, right? He came invading. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, has come. Okay? So he's invading. And what did he say about the gates of hell? They won't prevail against God's church, right? Now, gates are, it's very difficult to make those offensive weapons, attack weapons. They're defensive. The kingdom advances against a defeated, retreating enemy. But we have to lay hold of it. We have to contend for it. And the way we do it is by doing the very, like we said, the very things that Jesus did. Pray for the sick, cast out demons, tell people of the good news of Jesus. Have you ever, you know, try that, you know, just tell someone about how good Jesus is. You know, in work. You know, you're at the coffee thing, you know. Just let me tell you about Jesus. He's really good. Remember that conversation you had there last week? You know, isn't that a hard thing to do? That's a hard thing. That feels a little bit like contending. That feels a little bit like advancing. It's much easier to say, sun's nice to have the sun again, isn't it? Yeah, I was out with the kids. It was just a lovely walk in Marley Park. God bless. That's nice. Safe. Lord bless him as he goes. But that's not the picture. There's more of a contending. Let me see. Can I go back here? Okay. Now, for those of you that don't know, have I got it here? I just noticed it. That's all the same language. That's all the same language. Huh. Isn't it? Is Portuguese there? No. Sorry. I didn't put the Portuguese up here. But I did read the Portuguese words for this passage. And, Matthias, you can tell me, I'm right. It's like, I won't get it exactly right, it'll be more a Lisbon accent than... But it's like, violencio, which means violence. The passage, the words are like violence, and they don't sit nice with us. But Jesus is saying, be violent in advancing. And those things don't sit nice. What we used to be praying for a little comfort... Infant Jesus, meek and mild. He's meek and mild. But Jesus, the King, is saying advance his kingdom. Advance his kingdom. And we do it by doing what Jesus did. Healing the sick, praying for the sick, casting out demons, speaking of his good news. A few months ago, maybe, we had a chance to pray for Chris. Chris had the bad ribs. We prayed for him, and I would use, am I exaggerating, you say dramatically healed? Then we prayed for Alf, ribs and fingers, significantly improved. Yeah? God stuff. It's really exciting. I was traveling on the Lewis, just telling you another story. I was traveling on the Lewis, going in to town. And there was a man I knew there, a parent through school I got to know at the kids' school, and he's coughing, he's really, really sick, and I'm thinking, I didn't think this verse, but something like it was echoing in my head. So I said, are you sick? And God gave me a word. And he said, yes. So I started, I said, can I pray for you? Yes, prayed for him. Now he didn't necessarily feel anything, I didn't feel anything other than embarrassed. And we got off, and I ran away. But I met him 2 or 3 weeks later at a school thing, you know. And I said, oh, Tom, how's it going? And he says, fine. He says, how are you since I prayed? He says, actually, it turned into pneumonia, and I went to hospital. So what does contending look like? What does contending look like? That's it! I'm sick of this, Jesus. I am sick of this. I feel like I'm an idiot. I'm not doing this again. Or does the contending say, Lord, use me. Make me more effective. Help me to be more effective in your kingdom. Lord, help me not to be on the back foot, that even though not everyone will be healed, because we live in the now and not yet, help me to reach again and step again. I think that's what contending looks like. Last Wednesday evening in our small group, 11 of us went around Stephen's Green giving out free cans of Coke with a little sticker on it saying, what did it say? God cares for you. Or another one said, God's love is free and so is this Coke. And we had about 200 cans of Coke and we gave them out. And so we went into Stephen's Green. I was with Cassandra and... Well, who was with us, Cassandra? John. It was John. So we're walking in. So I walk into Stephen's Green and like, about where Alf is now, I see this guy coming to me, someone I know, and I'm thinking, oh
He hasn't seen me yet, fortunately. So I could like make this left turn and go. And I turned away. And I thought, Lord, I'm just really afraid that he's think I'm an idiot. So just turned around and gave him a Coke. And he said, you're an idiot. No. He did think it. He did think it. We gave out about 200 Cokes. One or two conversations. Lots of people didn't want them. They were very suspicious. 11 of us did it. And I would say every one of us, man and woman, felt like we engaged in a kingdom activity. All we were doing, it was only a stupid Coke. But what we were doing is trying to create an environment where people might think about God then, or later on that day, or next week, or next year. They might remember Norman next year. This guy from Malaysia gave me Coke and Stephen's Green. Why did he do that? All we're trying to do is create an environment that people can consider Jesus. I think we all... it was Anya. Anya was with us, wasn't it? I remember asking Cassandra, well, how was that? She said, yes! That's dramatic for Cassandra. Yes! You know, it has to be laid hold of. It has to be laid hold of. It has to be engaged in. It doesn't just happen. Kingdom. There, I've done my kingdom activity for today. It doesn't work like that. You have to engage in it, and you have to engage in it with people. With people. And it's always, oh God, don't let me do this. Stephen's Green, what are the chances of meeting someone that you know? Tonight, do you know this is the first really, really hot night, and there's lots of people thinking, who thought I'm going to have a barbecue tonight? No one. Gosh. But it's going to be three or four or five guys going out tonight, handing out sandwiches and tea, and it'd be much nicer not to on a nice night. Lord, it's a nice night. You'd understand, Lord. Engaging, contending for the kingdom. There's guys downstairs right now who worked preparing stuff for our kids so as our kids can know Jesus. It's much nicer being up here listening to me. That's what I tell myself. But they're down there hoping to plant the seed that will change a kid's life and that they'll see a 15, how old are you? 16-year-old going off on her summer as a missionary to Kenya. There was no one class that did that. It was the repeated investment of all the teachers and all the helpers over the years contending for the kingdom. The guys who are going to do teardown afterwards. It's a gorgeous afternoon. Contending for the kingdom. Katie's healing on the streets this afternoon. The people who carry, we have, as a church, we have a ministry, a relationship with a community called Vlottenburg in South Africa. And it's just a really hard-pressed community, and we're just trying to allow God to make a difference in their lives and our lives. And the people who carry those people in their hearts, contending for the kingdom, they've spent a fortune trying to do God's stuff down there. Sacrifice. Costs of time, energy, money, hardship, disappointment, embarrassment, endurance, lagging, missing out on the final episode of Lost. Even that extreme. The kingdom must be contended for. It doesn't just happen. It must be laid hold of. It must be engaged in. It must be pursued. It's not waiting for it to come to us like we're just sitting on a stream, just letting it flow down, chilled out. It's actively engaged, contending for the faith. But we live in an age of consumption.
well, what about me? Like the lads on the Super Run, they wouldn't miss if I didn't show up tonight. It's a lovely, lovely sunny night. God sent it to me. He must want me to enjoy it. Our very great calling is to advance the kingdom of God. Our very great calling, the King lets us participate. We didn't choose the age that we live in, just like the hobbits. But we live in the age of the great cosmic drama. And the temptation for me and for all of us is just to stay in the shire. Just stay in the place that's safe, that's comfortable, that's cost-free, that's nice. Let the others who are more able, taller, able to ride horses, more able to fight the whoever the Eye of Mordor. Let others do it, the kingdom stuff. And then we're just no different than the nice people all around us. Good dads and moms and kids. And we have to engage in the kingdom. You know, there's a great question I heard someone ask. What am I going to do with my one and only life? I only get one go at this. Mine, I know as shocking as this may seem, is already more than half over. Already more than half over. And I don't regret a single incident that I've engaged in of extending God's kingdom. Not despite the embarrassment, despite the apparent stupidity, despite, I don't regret a single time. Do any of us regret laying it on the line for Jesus? At any time. The regrets I have is when I didn't. I was just, couldn't be bothered, or what can I do, or it's too embarrassing. But this is my one and only life. My one and only life. And God has let His story engage with my story. He's let His story engage with your story. And He says, I've brought my kingdom. Now I'm going to let you participate in advancing it. There's regrets, but they're all when I didn't do it. They're all when I didn't do it. So, let's just pray for a minute. I have not a clue what to do right now. So we're just going to wait for a minute. Just to, if you're a guest, this is just like a transition time in our service. So let's just wait. What we're going to do is just invite God's Holy Spirit just to move in us. And see what He would lead and prompt. And in the baby zone, I know it can be hard and distracting, just try and quieten yourselves. Try and quiet yourselves. So Lord, we welcome You. We ask for Your leading, Lord. For some of us, when I said, lay it all on the line, something responded inside. You just said, yes, Lord. Or, Lord, I'm terrified of that. But Jesus does invite us to do that. Just encourage you to say, yes, Lord. So let's just continue to wait. God will continue, I think, to give us pictures. If you feel comfortable keeping your heads bowed, Norman, I just have a picture for you, Norman, of like an Olympic runner carrying a flame. And they're doing that from one plate, like advancing the cause. Like God's invitation is to be His flame carrier. Be His flame carrier, just holding that high. So we're just going to just wait, continue to wait.
I just have a sense that there are a few people, when Sean was talking about advancing the kingdom, maybe your stomach started twisting up and feeling like it was getting caught up in knots, or maybe your heart started beating a little bit faster. And just a sense that it's either too big for you or it's too scary for you. And I just want to pray against that. There's a proper fear of God, but you don't need to be afraid to advance His kingdom. If you're feeling that kind of overwhelming fear, or I can't do it, or any of that, I would just love to pray for you.
Great.
So again, this is just waiting, just trying to sense God's leading.
I just feel like the Lord has dreams and He's going to put them in our hearts, and that He's saying it's time to dream. And I'm just going to pray that, Lord, I just pray You release Your heart,
yes,
Lord, release Your dreams. Just cause us to dream again, Lord, as a church. So release, just come with Your Spirit now and release dreams in our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Just of how to be forceful in advancing Your kingdom, Lord.
Mm. Yes, Lord. So again, we're just trying to make space for God. And some people who are coming up here are contending, because this isn't an easy thing to do.
I had a very strong picture of a tap and the pressure behind the tap of the water trying to come through. And I feel it's God saying to each one of us just to turn on the tap and let Him have His way in our hearts, and just to receive all that He has for us. So God, I just pray that each one of us would just open our hearts to You this morning and not be afraid, and just receive all that You have for us.
Amen. Amen.
I was one of them who was handing out Cokes on Wednesday evening. And I'm a person that really, really don't like that kind of things. I get nervous. I hate to
just
speak.
Hold it up close.
Okay, sorry. I hate to speak to people I don't know out on the street and think they're gonna be, you know, think that I'm an idiot or whatever. The second person I met out in St. Stephen's Park was a young guy, 20, 25 years old, and immediately when he asked, when I handing over the Coke, he was asking, why are you doing this? I was saying that we do a small outreach for the church, and we had a small conversation. He's not here today, but he said that, oh, that's very nice. I'm gonna look it up on your homepage, and you know, hopefully I see you in the church some Sunday. And for me, it was a really, really big encouragement when I actually started to have a conversation with someone. And I think that if people actually taking a step and start handing out Cokes or doing whatever we're supposed to do, I think we can have a great impact on the church. And I think we're supposed to do more of those things in the future.
Amen. Good stuff, John. Thank you. We're going to end our service now, and sorry I've gone a little bit over, but I do feel like, you know, that idea that God has given us dreams, actually our church has birthed in God's dreams for our city. If there's dreams in your heart that you're not seeing, and also that sense of laying it all on the line and contending, and you know God is doing some stuff, I just want to make some space to let people, you just after the service finished, either sit where you are, or sometimes it's good to actually do something. It's your body telling your mind to come to the front and just sit. And sit in God's presence. Kathy will play a little bit. And let, sort of say, Lord, teach me how to contend. I want to contend. Lord, I'm frightened to lay it all the line. Show me. Lord, you know what? I'm just like my non-Christian nice neighbor. Lord, I want to be advancing Your kingdom. And if you want prayer for anything else, physical ailments, just not the flu with me, because I'd hate to give you pneumonia. So Lord, we ask for Your grace. Lord, make us contenders for Your kingdom. Lord, make Dublin Vineyard a place that advances your kingdom, that exists not for us inside here, but exists for the people outside there. That we could extend your welcome, extend your kingdom, extend your heart to broken lives and broken bodies and broken people. Lord, you extended your grace to us. Help us to extend it to others. Amen. So if you know God is at work, I would just encourage you, just come and sit in his presence. Don't forget, very quickly, up to healing on the streets is in about 5 minutes. And then if you're going to lunch on Stephen's Green at Bandstand at 1. Thank you.
On the streets meeting. So if you want to start heading into the boardroom, please, if you're interested for healing on the streets. Anyone? The meeting's starting now.
One, two.